Quinn Falk and Justin should be Friesen are getting married not yesterday, but next week, Saturday, June 23rd. So let's continue to remember them in our prayers as they prepare for their big day. Eva Schellenberg, congratulations to you. You're going to be celebrating your 90th birthday next Sunday afternoon. There will be a come-and-go celebration here from 2 to 5 p.m. So congratulations. There's some people who need to be remembered this week in prayer. Our missionaries, those in care homes. Let's take note of that, and let's remember them in our prayers. I think that's probably all the announcements I'll look at for now. Rudy's on sabbatical for 3 months, so he still needs to be kept in our prayers. So let's continue to remember them as they do some different things and just refresh and relax a little bit. It's important for them as well to be able to do that. For a call to worship this morning, I'd like to read Proverbs 4, the first 5 verses. My children, listen to me. Listen to your father's instructions. Pay attention and grow wise, for I am giving you good guidance. Don't turn away from my teaching, for I too was once my father's son, tenderly loved by my mother as an only child. My father told me, take my words to heart. Follow my instructions and you will live. Learn to be wise and develop good judgment. That was Solomon speaking about his father David. On this Father's Day 2018, we are reminded again of the important role fathers play in the lives of their children. As fathers, we have a responsibility to instruct our children so that they will become wise and develop good judgment. We have an obligation to guide our children so that that character they develop will be pleasing to God and to others around them. I'm thankful for my father, who taught me many important lessons in life. I'm thankful for the example he is to me, for the love he showed me, and for the love he continues to show me to this day. It's something I take for granted way too often. Thanks, Dad. I realize that not everyone is blessed with having a father who is present or takes an active role in their children's lives. In most cases, it must be quite difficult to cope for the child who loses a father or when the family splits up and the father is no longer in the picture. That child no longer has a male role model to emulate. That child loses the opportunity to have a father-son or a father-daughter relationship. They miss out on seeing in some small way what our Heavenly Father is like. Thankfully, our God is a great God who has the ability to put people into our lives who can help us deal with the circumstances we find ourselves in. God can and will help us in the struggles we face if we allow Him to. The kind of relationship we have with Him helps to some degree to determine how we react to not having a father in the picture. Let us all be thankful and continue to pray for all the fathers in this congregation and in our community. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for the fathers in this area. May you continue to give them wisdom, joy, and courage to be the example you would want them to be to their families, their friends, and their community that they are a part of. Amen.
Morning. Let's begin our singing by acknowledging the holiness of God the Father, our Creator. Please stand. It's number 5 in the hymnal, if you prefer to use your book. Verses 1, 2, and 4.
Holy, 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 Lord.
tears fall when I watch the rain. How could I say there is no God when all around creation calls a singing bird, a mighty tree, the vast expanse of open sea? Gazing at a bird in flight, soaring through the air, lying down beneath the stars, I feel your presence there. I love to stand at ocean's shore and feel the thundering breakers roar, to walk through golden fields of grain, neath endless blue horizons fray. Listening to the river run, watering the earth, fragrance of a rose in bloom, a newborn's cry at birth. How could I say there is no God when all around creation calls a singing a mighty tree, the vast expanse of open sea? I love to stand at ocean's shore and feel the thundering breakers roar, to walk through golden fields of earth, neath endless blue horizons vain. Thank you. You may be seated.
I'll call the ushers forward now for the offering, and Luke will be playing. Kate Riley. Thank you. Thank you. Let's pray. Lord God, this morning we come to you and thank you for fathers, grandfathers, great-grandfathers. We thank you for the roles that they play in our lives. We also thank you for mothers, for families, for friends, who all play a part in our lives. May we all grow in our faith in you. Help us to be mindful of who you are and how great your love for us, and how your great love for us should shine through all of us. I want to pray especially for Quinn and Justin as they prepare for their marriage next weekend. I pray that you would bless them, that you would give them joy as they prepare for this special event. I also want to thank you for Eva Schellenberg for being with her during these many years of her life. And as she wants to celebrate her 90th birthday, that you would just be near to her, and may it be a good celebration. I pray for all those who are sick, who are in care homes, who are on the mission field, and especially for Austin Penner as he prepares to leave the youth center. Help him to be able to integrate back into society in such a way that will keep him from having to go back where he was. May your love fill him with the desire to follow you in his life. As we worship you this morning, I ask that we be open to hearing your word, allowing it to penetrate our lives and taking it with us as we go from here. I pray for Peter as he shares the message you have laid on his heart, and for each one who plays a part in this service. We want to honor you this morning, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. There won't be a children's story this morning, so Ange, would you lead us in some more worship?
So there aren't a lot of songs that speak directly about earthly fathers, but many songs, however, do describe our Heavenly Father and give us a really good picture of what fathers here on earth are to be like. So fathers are to teach their children by word and example. Please turn to number 356 in your hymnal, "Teach Me, O Lord." Teach me, O Lord, thy way of truth, and from thy law will depart, that I may steadfastly obey. Give me an understanding heart. In thy commandments make me walk, for in thy law my joy shall. Judgments I confess, to know thy precepts I desire, revive me in thy righteousness. There's a song called "Come Home Running." We have done it before in church, maybe not too often, but it's just a beautiful song about redemption and of a Father God who welcomes us back when we have messed up. I come from a large family, 8 kids, and Mom and Dad have had their share of disappointments and heartaches, thanks to us. They've spent many hours on their knees praying for us kids, our spouses, our marriages, our children. But no matter how we mess things up, they are always waiting with their arms and hearts open to welcome us. I picture God like this. No matter how we have messed up, how we've avoided him, how we think we can do it on our own, God is waiting for us to come back to him with his arms open wide. So let's sing this song, Come Home Running. O heart of mine, why must you stray from one so fair? You run away, and one more time you have to pay the heaviness of needless shame. O heart of mine, come back home. You've been too long out on your own, and he's been there all along, watching for you down the road. So come home running, his arms are open wide. His name is Jesus, and he understands. He is the answer you are looking for. So come home running, just as you are. O child of God, so dearly loved and ransomed by the Savior's blood and called by name, daughter and son, wrapped in the robe of righteousness. So come home running, his arms are open wide. His name is Jesus, and he understands. He is the answer you are looking for. So come home running, just as you are.
For the scripture reading this morning, I'll read two passages, one from Deuteronomy and one from Ephesians. Deuteronomy 6, 1 to 9. These are all the commands, laws, and regulations that the Lord your God told me to teach you so that you may obey them in the land you are about to enter and occupy, and so you and your children and grandchildren might fear the Lord your God as long as you live. If you obey all his laws and commands, you will enjoy a long life. Listen closely, Israel, to everything I say. Be careful to obey, then all will go well with you, and you will have many children in the land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your ancestors, promised you. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone, and you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength. And you must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commands I am giving you today. Repeat them again and again to your children. Talk about them when you are at home and when you are away on a journey, when you are lying down and when you are getting up again. Tie them to your hands as a reminder and wear them on your forehead. Write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. And then Ephesians 6, 1 to 4. Children, obey your parents because you belong to the Lord, for this is the right thing to do. Honor your father and mother. This is the first of the Ten Commandments that ends with a promise. And this is the promise, If you honor your father and mother, you will live a long life full of blessing. And now a word to the fathers. Don't make your children angry by the way you treat them. Rather, bring them up with discipline and instructions approved by the Lord. Peter.
Let's bow for prayer. Lord, this morning as we open your word, be our teacher. As we open your word, be a light unto our path and lead us in our thoughts. In Jesus' name, amen. I recently finished reading a book called Fatherless America by David Blankenhorn. It's a very interesting book. It's well researched. It's not written necessarily from a Christian point of view, though I believe he is a Christian, but it is really giving us a picture into fatherhood as it is experienced in America. And the lack of fathering, and he is concentrating on his own country, the USA, and personally, I would add, count in Canada. Fatherhood has changed greatly in the past decades. The author of this book points to the fact that the number of children in the U.S. born outside of marriage to single women is about one-third of the children in the country. That's a very high number. One-third, and this book was written about 12, 15 years ago, so that figure, the way that he is projecting it, is probably even quite a bit higher today. I think he have heard around 40%. Women have babies and fathers fly the coop. That is very much the trend of our time. Who needs a father? Fathers are more and more considered unnecessary, irrelevant, and undesirable, and probably even a nuisance on the property. We sure can get along without them, so it goes. And slowly, society, slowly, like it always is, begins accepting those ideas. So fathers, what do we do about it? Weep? Lament? Complain in the coffee shop? That would help a lot. And push the statistics under everyone's nose. The message this morning is not to be simple scolding, however, about how things are going in the world, but about these things, how necessary fatherhood is, how important fathers are, and how grateful from our hearts we should be. We who have received the honor of being a father, how important it is and how we should consider that a privilege. Yes, becoming a father and being a father are two very different things. As has been pointed out, what a great God and Father of us all we have, all of us. Yes, what an example in our Lord Jesus, who invites us to pray, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. We're invited to appear before him as sons and daughters. We are invited to sing, I am no longer a slave to fear, I am a child of God. And that is what we want to look at this morning. I could focus on the mothers as well. And certainly we will touch on motherhood here and there as we go along. But this morning my focus will be on fathers. After all, it's Father's Day. And when I seem a bit hard on fathers, I want to make it clear that I include myself totally. When I seek to encourage fathers, I am in just as much in need of encouragement as anyone in this congregation. In the Deuteronomy passage we just heard, we have a rock-solid piece of scripture on the transmission of the faith from one generation to the other. Here is Moses giving his farewell speech, his farewell sermon. That's what Deuteronomy is all about, giving his farewell sermon to the people of Israel because he knows he is not going to cross that land, into that land. He knows that for the children of Israel, it's also a farewell sermon because he is preaching to them and they will not be on the journey anymore. The 40 years are over. It's time to go. And does he ever have experience? 40 years of training in the palace of the Pharaoh. 40 years herding the sheep of his father-in-law Jethro. And those 40 years of herding the sheep, I think maybe when he looked back, he felt it was a piece of cake compared to the 40 years that were now coming. Yes, because now you have the burning bush, God speaking to him, go and deal with this situation. Set my people free, dealing with Pharaoh. Let my people go. The wondrous passage through the Red Sea, the receiving of the commandments on Mount Sinai. But then, the golden calf. Disobedience, lack of faith in God, lack of trust even in Moses' leadership, in his own leadership, grumbling. And if it's not one thing, it's the other, but there are problems all the way. Yet for 40 more years, Moses serves God, and now he stands at death's door. Moses knew that these people with whom he had crisscrossed the wilderness, these people in whom he had vested so heavily were, what? Only one generation away. One generation away from ceasing to be the people of God. One generation away from losing their children and grandchildren. Only one generation away from forgetting God who freed them from slavery, who led them through the Red Sea. Only one generation from falling victim to the surrounding society. Only one generation from worshiping wood and stone and homemade gods. Only one generation away from losing the great heritage that God was preparing to give them of being a witness to his love and to his leadership and to his glory and to life abundant in the land flowing with milk and honey. Moses has just, in the previous chapter, chapter 5, he's just gone over the Ten Commandments in considerable details. But he is saying here, in essence, and only keeping rules and coldly obeying regulations is not what God wants. God is looking at the heart, at love. God wants your enthusiasm, your joy. The story is told about a farmer way back, and he had two horses. And these horses were pulling his plow across the field. And then one day, one of the horses died. And then he says to himself, you know, it's probably time that I change over to a tractor. And he goes to that other horse and he says to this horse, you know what? I'm going to let you free. You have done a good job. You've deserved it. I'm going to open the barn door and I'm going to let you retire. And you know, it's actually true that in the U.S. West, it was a practice that many ranchers had, that an old horse was not shot. An old horse who had served faithfully and who they had been riding for all those years deserved a good retirement. And they opened the gates of the corral and they let that horse out, and they can wander the hills and the valleys for the rest of their lives and enjoy the grass and drink the water from the streams, and off they went. Well, that's what this farmer thought he was doing. And he said it was time to come up with to go with the times, time to buy a tractor now, and he did. And so one day he's out on the field plowing with the tractor. And the horse is looking, you know, from up some hilltop or somewhere, and he comes galloping, and he pulls right, walks right beside the tractor, and he trots beside the tractor as they plow the ground. Because that was his joy. He loved to do this. He did not just do this because he had to. This was his job. And surely this tractor would not be able to do it all alone. And so there he was. God wants our joy. He wants our heart. He wants our enthusiasm. He wants us to experience this the way that it is meant to be experienced. Listen to God, to Moses' words to the sermon. For his sermon here. And I just want to read a part of it. It has already been read to us. But I want to repeat just part of this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is one. The Lord God, the Lord our God. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. Impress God's story on your children. Talk about them in everyday life. Tie God's commandments on your hands, that is, let them see your actions, not just hear your words. Bind them on your foreheads, let them govern your thoughts. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. Many Jewish homes, even today, they have a little box on the door frame, and in it are these words that they call the Shema. The Lord our God is one. And the following verses there. They're printed, they're put as notes into that little box. And when the person, the Jewish father, when he goes out and he's going off to work, he will stand, he will look at that box, he will take his fingers, kiss them, put his fingers on the box, and then he'll go to work. That is his day. That is how he looks upon God, the God the Father. Our house belongs to the Lord. We keep things out that offend our God. Door frames and gates. This whole section is a wonderful introduction to the fatherhood theme. For what a great God and Father of us all, we all of us have. For the believer in Christ, fatherhood, motherhood, sonship, daughtership, we are all invited to appear before this God. We are invited to sing, I am no longer a slave to fear, as we said before, I'm a child of God. And that loyalty and love to Christ is at the root of good fatherhood. The greatest gift that a father can give to his children, and some people would say is to love the mother, is to love his wife. Ah, but there's a greater gift he can give to his children. That's if he himself loves not the children, but loves the mother. Walks beside her, shares the duties of parenthood, shares the life of being an example, shares a life of worship, stands with her at critical moments when she is attacked for her simple loyalty to Christ, when she is made to feel unworthy. He is to be her parental ally in conflicts and child raising. He is to stand by her on the journey of faith. It is to always realize that she is an heir of eternal salvation. She's not his servant. An heir of eternal salvation, that she is a Christian, is not only her husband's wife, but also her husband's sister in Christ. His sister in Christ. First and foremost. How well Jesus Christ illustrates both his divinity and his humanity and his standing with all of us when on the cross he speaks of Mary, his mother, standing there close by, and he speaks to the beloved disciple, John, and says, Behold, your mother. Or when Christ speaks to the woman at the well in Samaria, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. What is this living water? And just a little farther down, Jesus, still speaking to her, says, Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. That is what Jesus is talking about to this woman at the well. Men who seek to do an end run around the leadership role by becoming a demanding boss, or to lord it over his wife. These men do not understand God in creation, nor Christ on the cross, nor the anointed ministry of the Holy Spirit in their sisters in Christ. Just read Joel, the book of Joel. How blessed we as men are that our wives are a gift of God and our greatest allies on the journey of life. The journey to the city, not built by human hands, but built by the craftsmanship of our beloved Heavenly Father. How blessed the church that sees women, whether married or single, as pillars in the church of Christ, just as men are. Children. When I think of myself as a child, I often think of my dad and his sayings to me as a boy, and always connecting it in my own mind with our God, our Heavenly Father. He would say, for instance, during a thunderstorm like we had the other night, he would say, for instance, when a thunderstorm would show up, the thunder is good. The ground is being shaken up, and the wheat is really going to start to grow. Have you ever heard your dad say something like that? And then he might say, Peter, one thing, be careful around horses. Talk to them when you're around them. Yeah, they don't want to be frightened by sudden movements and sudden noises. And he taught me to harness horses properly. And I and my sisters and I would be off to that old Osterwick school by buggy in fall and spring and by cutter sleigh in the winter time, and those faithful horses would be guiding us, taking us there. Or he would say to me, well, Peter, what do you think? Should we put flax into this field here this spring? And I, of course, was the expert. I knew all about it, wasn't I? Anyway, I, as if I knew. But you know what? I felt like the co-manager of the place. And that was what's so important in that communication between father and child, between father and daughter, the encouragement that can come forth, and the feeling of support. Or in pitching hay on the hayloft together in jungle heat. If you think that it's hot in Florida, that's nothing compared to the hayloft in July when you're haying. And you have to put that hay into place. And then he would sometimes talk when we were both up there. And he would talk about his faith, the importance of life, the importance of being right with God, and the sense that we would not be here forever, and there were things that were very important. Yes, God's commandments, fathers, if you and I will not impress them on our child, who will? Can we isolate our mothers to do so without our support? By the way, I am convinced that each congregation needs not only strong mother figures, but a whole crew of strong father figures. Absolutely. That's important for everybody. It's important for single people. It's important for children. It's important for youth. It's important for old people. Moses clearly recognized in his farewell message to his people that producing leaders in the congregation is of key importance. And this certainly includes fathers. No, fathers, you are not a nuisance around the place. I hope not. And you're not irrelevant. You're not unnecessary. You're totally important and of key importance. And Scripture emphasizes that strongly. You are called to give children hope when things look dark, to give children a vision of who they can become, to give children deep hope and respect as Jesus did when he overruled his disciples and took the children into his arms and blessed. He was not too busy, even though he had worked all day. And finally, to fulfill the great purpose of transmitting the faith from one generation to the next, to pave the way to an eventual acceptance of Christ's invitation to become his child. As Paul told the Corinthians, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed it to us by his Spirit. One of my favorite Bible verses is this one from Isaiah 42:3, personal verse. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out. Really? God will not take advantage of our weakness as human beings, of our weakness as fathers. And God will not take advantage of a child's weakness, not of any person's weakness. How important to teach a child that making a mistake is not the end of the world. For the father himself to realize, hey, I've done wrong. I have made a mistake, God. You will not blow out a smoldering wick, a candle that is just flickering a little bit, that's all. You will not snuff it out, O God. God, forgive me and help me to learn. Help me that I will not blow out my child's candle. A father's deep investment into the life of a child is the greatest investment he could ever make.
Please stand as we sing together, Great is Thy Faithfulness, number 534.
Thank you, Peter, for challenging us and encouraging us as not only fathers, but all of us. Let's bow for the benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance over you and give you peace, now and as we go from here. In Jesus' name, amen.